We're continuing the Netivot Shalom and Parshat Vayera. The subject is Parshat HaAkedah, the story of the binding. And the Rebbe of Slonim had described how what happens when a person is put to the test, the essence of the test, is that at the time of the test, he is enveloped with darkness, what he calls in Hasidic terminology, chashchut ha-mochin, katnut ha-mochin, as though his mind is minimized. And he is really put to the test on the question of where has he developed his core, because it is his core essence that is going to react to the challenge. All the thoughts he's developed, the philosophies he's developed, all of that unravels when he's put to the test, and it is the question of his core essence that stands up or fails at the test. The level a person has to attain in the service of Hashem is that it should become second nature, it should become part of his soul, it should be a part of his personality, a part of what reacts to the challenges. It shouldn't be contingent on his enlightenment, his attaining philosophical heights. Yes, in developing our personality, we have to think, we have to develop, but then we have to reach a point that's beyond the thought, that the Torah becomes a part of our personality. After we have developed, it has to become a part of a person's essence, a part of his existence. And just as when you eat and drink and sleep, you don't think about it. You don't say, oh, now my body has to rejuvenate itself. Now I have to bring in proteins and enzymes, and I need to ingest so that my metabolism will function properly. I need to liquefy my system. I have to hydrate my system. You don't do that. It's nature. You eat, you drink, you sleep. That's part of a person's nature. The service of Hashem has to be the same way. Years ago, I think the first year that I was teaching at the Machon, I spoke a lot about this concept, that our classes deal a lot with the philosophy, but a person has to know that the philosophy is the starting point and not the ending point. You can't wake up every morning and ask, is there a God? Okay, now let's think this through. And then you think it through, and then you say, okay, so then I guess I'm going to say Shema Yisrael this morning. Oh, I miss Man Kriya Shema. Shucks, it took me too long to figure that one out. Yeah, you have to develop a philosophy, and you have to reach a point where you've accepted that philosophy. But you can't start from scratch every day. You have to reach this point that he's saying, where it becomes a part of one's nature. The love of Hashem, the fear of Hashem, has to become a part of his nature. Ben biotob mochin de gadlut, uven kasher sharuv mochin de katnut. Be it at the parts of his life when things are shining, what we call mochin de gadlut, his mind is broad and understanding, or when he's at a time where everything seems to be minimized. Uchmo dichtiv, as the verse says, King David attests, kol atzmotai tomarna Hashem michamocha. All my limbs declare God who is like you. The bones are the most physical part of the body. You don't think with your bones. Gamhin, King David was saying, even my bones declare, Tomana Hashem mikamocha. They declare Hashem who is like you. David the Melech purposely said, my bones declare. He should have said, my mind declares, my heart declares. No, his point was the exact opposite. Even my bones, it's gone down to my bones. And just as there's the opposite concept as well, where sin could be engraved in one's bones, that's second nature to a person. By the same token, a person can attain a level where what's engraved in his bones, what's second nature to him, is that declaration of Hashem who is like you. And that's why when a person is put to the test, suddenly he finds himself in what the Hasidut calls katnut ha-mochin. Suddenly he doesn't have that breath of thought. Things aren't so clear to him. He's down, he's boiled down to his nature. And that's why a test is really a revelation of where a person's developed his nature, where he's developed his core, is his core at that point of doing the will of Hashem. So it says in the holy works, so they write that this idea that at the time of the test, a person feels like he's lost everything he's built, everything's unraveled, that's only the things that he merited through the help of above. But the things that a person really toiled on, the things that a person consistently worked on, nisharim im lo, those remain. Ve'inam nitalim imenu afilu b'shat nisayon. Those don't go away, even at the time of the test. Ve'inei midato shel Avraham avinu hi midat ha'ava. When we speak about Avraham, Avraham's trait is the trait of love. Kmo dechtiv Avraham avi. The verse even describes him as Avraham who loves me. That seems to be the greatest compliment. You don't find anyone else described as loving Hashem. Avram is described as Ohavi. And if you think Avram Avinu found it easy and it was second nature for Avram to get there, no. Avram worked to get there. It didn't come easy to him to love Hashem. You think, look at the beautiful world. No, that's the idea that we discussed a few weeks ago in the Rambam. Hechi haderech. The Rambam says, what's the path to attain the love of Hashem? So we said, you see, the Rambam also said it's a path. You don't just get there. It's not a realization. It's something to be worked on. Shetamid amal v'yitiyagei al ahavat Hashem. It was something Avram perpetually worked on and toiled on. וכמו שמרן הקדוש מקוברין זכותו יגן עלינו אמר פעם אחת בהתלהבות, and as the Rebbe of Kuvrin once said in excitement, וכי חידוש הוא שאברהם מין לא נשרף בור כסדים. So he said the following Hasidic thought. He said, does it surprise you that when Avram is thrown into the cauldron, the burning furnace, he didn't get scathed? החידוש, this is a famous line, the Rebbe of Kuvrin said, what should surprise you is איך שהוא כסדים לא נשרף מקוד אלי שאהבה שאהב אברהם אבינו את הקדוש ברוך הוא. How come the furnace didn't get scorched by Avram? He loves Hashem so much. The burning fire of Avram should have burnt the furnace. אשר מאמר זה מלמד מושג כלשהו על גודל אהבה של אברהם או אבי. So obviously in this sentence he was coming to teach about the great love that Avram had to the point where the prophet calls him Avram who loves me. So all the tests Avram stood up to were all revolving around this trait. Does he love? So using this trait, Avram stood up to all the tests. Being that he worked so hard to attain this level, so then even through the tests, all first nine tests, he was able to hold on to that trait. Because whatever a person works hard on, he retains to a degree, even at the time of a test. But after he stood up to the first nine tests, so now he's built up to this moment in his life. The moment where he's going to have the final, most difficult test. And this was a test where love wouldn't carry him. If it was only about love, he wouldn't get there. When Avram is questioned by Hashem to bind his son, he needs both the love of Hashem and the fear of Hashem. Love of Hashem alone is not going to get him through this time. And that's why the description of the test begins with the description of God as Elohim, the exacting, judging God. Shuashem Hakadosh Shel Midat Hayira. We are referring to the idea of being a God-fearing person, a person with awe. Shanisayon Yah Bemidat Hayira Livchon Et Madrigato Biyirat Hashem. Because Avram now had to contend with a test on a different level. ולכן גם נאמר כאן הלשון ניסה שלא כבניסיון שלך לך מארצך, שכתוב רק ויאמר השם. And that's why here we begin with the term the Torah says God tested Avram, ניסה את Avram. Doesn't say that in the beginning of Lech Lecha when God tells him leave your family. כי כאן היה ניסיון קשה במיוחד, because this was an exceptionally difficult test, שהיה צריך לזה גם מידת העירה. Because here he needed to react to the test with a trait that was not his strong point. He was always working through love, and suddenly that was not going to carry him. ומשום כך עומק הניסיון היה בעיקר לאברהם ולא ליצחק. And that's why if it's a test that's focused on the question of how much fear do you have of the Creator, what kind of God-fearing person are you, so then the person to whom it was a greater test was Avram and not Yitzchak. Ki Yitzchak zo midato yir'a v'gvura, because Yitzchak's strength is exactly in that. To Yitzchak it wasn't that great a test. To Yitzchak the question, do you fear God? Yes, I fear God. I'm working my whole life about being a God-fearing person. The point that Yitzchak worked on his whole life was being a God-fearing person. So fear, yeah, Yitzchak has that. So if it's a question of do I fear God enough, I've been working on that my whole life. But Avram has not. Avram has focused on loving Hashem. And now he has to tap into the resources of are you also a God-fearing person? Ve'en ze chidush amad b'nisayon. So when we speak about Yitzchak, that's not the great surprise that he stood up to the test. Ela ikar nisayon haya le'Avram o'avi lirot ech yamod b'nisayon shel midat ha'ira. The essence of the test was to Avram to see how he's going to stand up to the test when the test revolves around the question of how much fear do you have of the Creator? Yes?
How would you differentiate fear of Hashem and love of Hashem?
How would you compare?
I'm asked the same question.
Okay. So, fear is the type of relationship you have of... there are a few types of fear, but the simplest level of fear is fear of one who can hurt you, so you feel like you have to listen to him. And then there's fear of one who you realize is awesome, so much greater than you, even if they can't hurt you, but when you look at them and you have an appreciation for how great they are, so then there's an element of fear, of awe, that envelops a person. I once said that when a certain Rebbeim, who I learned by, when I called them on the phone, I stood up. I even though I'm not standing opposite them, I couldn't remain seated. Such respect for the person, I couldn't sit down and talk to them. So that's when you have an appreciation for who the person is. So those are two types of fear, but that's not love. Love is an appreciation that makes you want to give, that makes you want to connect. It's not fear. It's true that the two can work together. They're not mutually exclusive, but they're different.
There's a possible question for leadership. Is it better to be feared or loved?
Yeah.
So you said earlier that all the work one does themselves during the time of the test, right? The work they do on themselves remains, right? The person's working on love.
To a degree.
To a certain degree, it remains. So on the flip side, where does one get a certain quality that they have not been working on at the time of a test, such as Avram, gets this like influence, this influx of like the Urim, but it's not necessarily his focus.
Oh no, so he also worked on that. That's the idea here. Let's see, he's going to get there. Yes?
Would it be fair to say that the whole idea about the tests, I mean, I think it's easy to assume that Hashem would know how Avram would react to these tests, he knows Avraham. But maybe the whole purpose of these tests is for Avraham to reveal in himself these midot of himself, to strengthen the midot that he knows that he will now realize is strong and to realize which midot needs to work on. Is that maybe the purpose of the test?
So the Medrash tells us three allegories with regards to the test. The Medrash tells us one allegory, it's similar to a potter who is selling his pots. And when people come, he knows how strong each pot is. So he knocks on the pots. He has a wooden spoon where he bangs each pot. And he shows you, look at how strong this pot is. But he knows full well how strong each pot is. So he knows how hard he could hit each pot to show you how strong it is. So the stronger the pot, the harder the whack he gives it. But he's giving it a hard whack to show you, look at what a strong pot it is. So too Avram, Hashem knew how strong he was. So Hashem gave him this test to illustrate the strength. So according to that understanding in the Medrash, it was to teach others. Meaning, Be'ar Hashem Yira'eh. The verse says you gave him a flag, a banner. So this is a sign. Look at us. We're people who are willing to be so dedicated to give up our lives, to give up everything for the truth. So that's one understanding in the Medrash. Second understanding in the Medrash. The Medrash says it's similar to a person who is selling wool. When the person is selling wool, so he knows he can purify the wool, he can comb it and get it to be nicer. And there are different types of combs. One is tougher on the wool, and one is easier on the wool. And the person knows how strong the wool is, and so because he's an expert, he knows how much to comb each piece of wool. The more quality you have in the wool, the more he's going to comb the wool, because he knows it could get better. So too, the Ribbono Shel Olam knows each person according to what they could stand up to. And so too, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave Avram this test. And that would seem to indicate, like you're saying, that Avram, just like the wool, when you finish combing it, is a better piece of wool. So too, Avram Avinu was a better person, so to speak. When he stood up to the test, he walked away from the test on a higher level. And that's the term Nes, or Nisayon, could mean a test, with the first understanding. Or Nisayon could mean an uplifting. Linasot in Hebrew is also to uplift, because a flag is lifted high. So, what? But they are interchangeable. You see, Nes mitnosis. A flag is flying up high. So Nisa with the Samach is also to fly high. So according to that understanding, the idea of the test was so that Avram Avinu will walk away elevated. And then there's a third understanding in the Medrash, which right now I'm forgetting. The Medrash gives us a third. I don't remember. But you could see it in the Netziv. The Netziv quotes the three Midrashim in the beginning of the Akedah, and he explains each one.
I reached the conclusion by a different example, Ma'al. So I was thinking it's similar to, like, you're practicing violin. I'm practicing violin, and you're practicing, and like what you say about the core things, it's really true that there could be things that you can play from the beginning to the end without any mistakes. But when it comes to the concert, if that's not really part of your core ability, that the other things fall away in the concert, and you're only left with your core ability, and then you realize that that's like one of the big things that like you have to work on.
Yeah,
fam.
The benefits of the connection with all this stuff with the Akedah. I've asked this question before, and I really didn't answer, so I'm going to ask again. It's Sarah. It's like, from my understanding, it was when she heard about this going on, she died. So it's like she didn't know about it. Like she wasn't discussed about the scenes, from my understanding. And then, like what benefit was there was this to her? Like, she died because she was afraid she was going to lose her son.
This. You weren't there when we did this?
We spoke about it, and then you said that she'll bring it up another time, and that was when I was still here full time. So, you know, I don't know if you brought it up another time I wasn't here, but.
That's not our topic. So I'll try to answer in real short. If we'll go with the third understanding, that Avram walks away a greater person, so then we would say that Sarah didn't need it. And that fits in with other Midrashim that discuss why Avram did need this. Either because of his error in making a peace treaty with Amimelech, or because of other things like the Ramban writes. But the indications we have as to why Avram needed this, Sarah didn't have those faults. She didn't need it.
Yeah,
So that's that would be one approach.
So I'm not chased to die, though.
So again, I'll answer in short, even though it deserves a longer answer. Who said that's why she died? Oh no, the Medrash says that's why she died. So who says that's why she died? No. What the Medrash says is that when she heard it, she dropped dead. So who says that's why she died? Meaning, it would seem that she was meant to die then. But God made it that she died when she heard from the Akedah. Let's say she had a massive heart attack, so that Avram would have to contend with that test. Meaning our sages speak about the perfect life she led. That the 127 years were the perfect amount of time where she accomplished the perfect amount of things. So Chazal certainly gives us the indication that she didn't die before her time at 127. But Avram had to come home and discover that his wife dropped dead when she heard of the Akedah. And that was like putting a nail in the coffin. Excuse the pun. I'm saying... Avram had to contend with that as though, look, you stood up to the greatest test. Shouldn't everything work well for you, Avram? No, he comes home and his wife's dead. And it's not only she's dead, he can't find a place to bury her. So that's what we were discussing earlier this week, that Hashem makes it in life that when you do what's right, you will discover that the result is it'll look like you're suffering for it. It does not look at first glance like you did what's right and everything works out right. Right? No. At first glance, Hashem does not run the world in a way that when you're going to do what's right, you're going to feel like, great, now everything worked out. Look at that. The test is that you're going to do what's right and it's going to look like you're paying a huge price for having done what's right. Avram stands up to the test of that Akedah and discovers when his wife heard of it, she died. Now, did he do right or wrong? Is he going to question himself? Is he going to regret it? Is he going to say, God, what do you want from me? Didn't I do what you wanted?
But even till today, where she's buried, is even like a little hot plate that was going on. I guess it never ends.
Maybe.
You were talking, and this may be for Thursday night, but I think it's shy of to what you were saying about hitting the pots and knowing how strong they are. And I alluded to it last night when I said Abraham is on a different level. And I think my feeling is that there's a different level of hashgacha pratit when it comes to our forefathers and certainly to us at this point in time. And I think it's okay to talk about tests being challenges and elevating and finding yourself, but there are definitely people who aren't elevated and they're simply crushed and they can't function anymore in life. So can you say that Hashem sometimes overestimates the strengths of certain people? Because there are people who are literally crushed by what's happened to them in life and they can barely feed themselves anymore and they're just absolutely, they're destroyed by these tests. And I don't necessarily see that maybe these tests are that fine-tuned, that sometimes people get tests that just destroy them and don't elevate them.
I think it has to do with whether or not you pass the test.
Like, I said that, but if you're going to be given a test that you're not capable of having, and the only way you know that is when the person is left non-functioning and is totally crushed, and medical professionals can't do anything with the person because the person is sitting in a room in a dark corner and just can't function. They've been this way for 30 years. Has the test been a fair test? To what point is the test given?
I don't necessarily know if that's a result of someone being dealt a test that he doesn't have the ability to pass. I think that's more of a result of someone who continuously fails test after test after test.
Wait till you're older and stuff has happened, serious stuff. I'm not saying it hasn't, but I'm just saying there are people in this world. I remember when I was your age and hearing this. As I've lived longer, I've seen people who've been totally destroyed by their test, and it's not pretty, and it's not elevating, and it's not challenging. And it's nice to talk about the stuff in theory and what we would do, but there are people out there who've been tested and have been absolutely shattered beyond all repair.
So what
I'm saying is, in terms of, we all think that Hashem is totally focused on us and knows exactly what we need, and I'm not so sure that in this day and age, everything is so fine-tuned, and I think life sometimes unfolds. And that's my question. Sometimes the pot is not as strong as the one who made it thinks it is.
You understand? You're beginning with an assumption that that the resultant was not supposed to be that this guy flip out. I think that in prophets we are taught differently. We are taught that King Saul did go into massive depression and stop functioning normally. And we are told that that is God's hand doing that to him. So then sometimes we do not say that that was a test and he failed. We say that, no, God sometimes brings physical illness and God sometimes brings mental illness.
So to say it, it's a punishment.
I don't even know if it's a punishment. I don't know that we always understand why God does it. When a child is born and he's crippled, you don't say that's a punishment. When a child is born and he's retarded, you don't say that's a punishment. So when an adult is given a test and then they crush under it, is that a test? Is that a punishment? Or is that one of those things which we don't understand, just like we don't understand why a seven-year-old gets cancer, so we don't understand why a seven-year-old gets molested and then can sometimes be totally destroyed for life because of what they underwent. And I, in all honesty, I do not know the answer, and I don't know if anyone knows the answer, whether what Ari said is right or wrong. I don't know if a person has that element of free will that they're not exercising when a person goes insane or when a person enters massive depression. I don't know. But the approach of our sages was that there are psychological difficulties which a person cannot overcome. Chazal said, help him. He's in danger. Chazal said, on Shabbos, turn on a light for him. On Shabbos, take him for a walk even though there's no Erev. So Chazal did not say, well, get over it, man. It's Shabbos. I'm not turning on a light for you. Chazal didn't say that. Chazal said, depression is serious and it's dangerous. And turn on the light for him so he doesn't get seriously depressed. Or turn off the light for him. So again, obviously there are different types of depression. Just because a guy broke up with his girlfriend doesn't mean that now he's going to go turning on and turning off lights on Shabbos, right? But from Chazal, I get the indication that there are situations which are beyond a person's capacity mentally. And you see that already from the prophets about King Saul. And I think that the approach to that is not as a test, just as you don't view a person who gets, you know, paralyzed. That's his test. He can't do anything. He's a vegetable today. That's his test. That's his predicament. It's no different than a child that was born paraplegic, you know. So what's that's his test. He was given a predicament. I don't know if you could call that his test. So a child who's born and dies after 2 days, that was his test? That wasn't his test. That was one of those great questions in life where you look at God and say, I don't understand.
Okay, so I want to say that if we see a situation where the person was not able to cope with something, then it's not a test, because we're saying that Hashem gives tests, only will give you a test that he knows you are capable, you may fail it, but that you are capable of succeeding. He's not going to give you a test that you are not capable of passing. It's up to you whether
then
you
it's can. Already not a test.
Then it's already not a test, okay.
Right, then it's a decree.
I think that needs to be defined in that sense, that it's no longer a test.
Agreed.
Okay.
Agreed. Yeah. We'll just finish this paragraph. זה גם מה דכתיב, אתה ידעתי כי יראי אלוקים אתה. And that's why the Akedah concludes with a declaration. Now it is known that you are God-fearing. His love of Hashem was unquestioned. That was already revealed in the previous test. He stood up to those tests with his strength of love. It's only now in the test of the Akedah that his fear of Hashem was revealed. That was the only way to stand up to a test like that. And that's why the declaration is now Now that you stood up to the test of the Akedah, it's been clarified that you are a God-fearing person as well. And he's still going to work off the question he asked. Why does it say they went together? The idea that they had unified, that Avram has now been, so to speak, has adopted the strengths of Yitzchak. He has also developed that, he has also shown that level of being a God-fearing person. And we didn't really finish this, but we're out of time, so maybe next week we'll still finish this.